The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to give you folks fair warning, advance notice. This is going to be a weird show. I don't know why, but for some reason, today, things are just really freaky across America. So that being said, good to have you with us. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be. And we had a lot of fun on yesterday's show. By the way, you've got, if you missed the Phil Robertson interview, the Duck Commander himself, you should go back and listen to the podcast, download the podcast. It was a tremendous interview. What Phil had to say about the cancel culture mob is causing a little bit of a stink in the social media platforms today, because he just went right out there and he said that when push comes to shove, that God is going to rain down holy you-know-what on the cancel culture mob. I thought it was brilliant. And I think he's got a great point, because we're dealing with some really evil people here in this this cancel culture movement. Folks who want to destroy you. They don't just want to disagree with you. They don't think you should even exist anymore. And that idea is getting more prevalent in our society. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that interview. So Grace Baker, we're going to get to the military in just a moment. I want to talk about the military. They're doing some really weird things right now in the Biden Pentagon. But I know that you are a church-going gal,
yes,
as they say. We've talked about a lady by the name of Beth Moore.
Oh, yeah.
So you know who she is.
Of course I do.
So she is probably one of the top, I mean, I guess she's right up there with someone like a Joyce Meyer or somebody like
Michelle
that.
Michelle Shire.
Okay, so she's very, very influential, very, very powerful in the evangelical circles.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
100%. Less so now than she used to be, but yes.
And we're going to get to that. So I have a question for you, Grace, as the representative woman on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Uh-oh.
So there's a pastor out of Utah, and this pastor wrote something on Twitter that I did not think was all that controversial. And this pastor was writing a letter directed at women. And he was telling the women that basically they need to practice modesty. They need to be more modest in their dress. That is a pretty standard, I would say, typical thing that you would hear a preacher say from the pulpit.
Typically.
So you don't want the girls running around in, you know, bikinis, you know, there at the church socials. Yeah, I mean, you just don't. And normally, if something like that would happen, they would, you know, the church ladies would call out the younger girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a certain way you should dress.
There's normally a dress code for those sorts of things.
So, I remember as a kid growing up in the Baptist faith tradition, we would go to Ridgecrest for our summer camps. And,
yeah,
you know, you would be told, okay, you can't wear, girls, you can't wear a bikini. You can wear a one piece.
Or a tankini.
It's not the Playboy Mansion. A what?
A tankini.
What is that?
Just like a tank top. It, you know, like it covers your midsection.
Oh,
but it's
a two-piece. Well, that was, okay. So it has progressed since then because, I mean, I think when my mom was going to church camp, you know, she was having to wear, I don't know, dresses. I don't know.
Sounds uncomfortable.
So anyway, this pastor wrote, and this is what he wrote. There is no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut skirts, bikinis, bras, and underwear, or anything similar ever. Not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story. And that, so I
signed your brothers.
It's signed your brothers. So it's like, dear ladies, you know, your brothers, talking about Christian men don't want to see their women out there wearing, you know, all this. Well, they don't want them to be scantily clad. And so I, you know, I'm reading this and I get where he's coming from. I wish I knew the backstory. I wish I knew what prompted him to write this. Because he sort of loses me on the weight loss journey and the newborn baby, because that's sort of a thing in society now. I mean, there are women now that will post the videos of themselves, you know, feeding their children. And, you know, it's National Geographic special time. I mean, everything's out there. No, I'm just saying. You've seen, I mean, it's all out there.
No, I know what you mean.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying.
It's a fact.
It's a fact. What do you, don't
sue me.
Not
my cup of tea to just sit and watch someone do that, but
no, good on you. I don't even like it when they do the cat videos, you know, and you got Mama Cat and everybody's bellying up to the bar.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Somehow that is on my Instagram recommendeds now, and I don't know why. It's ridiculous.
Not even going to ask, Todd.
Don't ask. I've got cats and dogs, which I don't need. Somebody said, Todd, you need a cat or a dog on the show, and boom, all of a sudden I've got cat and dog videos. So anyway, the pastor writes this on social media. And it creates a firestorm. And all of these Christians, it's the Christians that are coming after the pastor. How dare you? How, you sexist pig? They're calling the pastor a sexist pig. So an NBC host, Katie Fang is her name. That's PH. I guess it's kind of like fat, you know, the PHAT. Yep. Fang. So it's PHANG. She says, I'm a proud member of the Congregation of the Holy Church of Mind Your Own Damn Business. It's kind of clever.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. So others were going in, and they were just, I mean, it was horrible. The pastor has been overwhelmed with people sending him pornographic images. I mean, it's just terrible. And all he was doing, I mean, he doesn't have a massive following, and he's not one of these provocateurs, you know, where, and I know him because they try to get on the show all the time.
Yes.
So this is not one of those guys. I think this is a good, decent preacher who just, for whatever reason, stepped in it. But my question is, did he step in it? I mean, is that out of style now? Because Beth Moore, this is where Beth Moore comes into all of this. Or as we call her on this program, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore, the lady Bible preacher, she decided to blast the preacher too. And she called him a dude. told him to never say the word bra, and then ordered him to mind his own unders.
I think he means underwear.
Is that it? I don't know. I don't
like undies.
I think
do
it may be
undies.
It could be code for ladies' unmentionables.
That's weird.
I don't
to call
know
it unders.
I don't know what she meant by that.
Down unders.
So no, don't ever say that again.
Okay.
Don't ever say that. So my question is: it wrong or unchristian for a pastor to suggest that both men and women should, you know, practice modesty? Now, he didn't mention men, and I think he should have, because men are getting just as bad as the women out there.
Yes.
in their dress. I mean, and Grace, I'm just going to throw these out at you, sort of, you know, we're just spitballing here. But, I mean, do women really want to see a guy running around town with an exposed butt crack?
Ugh.
You see, you've seen them. They have the pants, and then they were talking about this on the morning show. What do they call it? Diaper. It's like, it looks like they're wearing a diaper because of the way their underwear is bunched up and the pants are coming down.
Yeah, or yes, that, or like guys wearing like spandex shorts.
Ooh. In the,
and running.
That's,
I'm like,
yeah, nobody wants to see nothing
no.
jiggling. Yeah, that's, put on some shorts, please.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, and what about the guys? And we've seen them. They wear the T-shirts that are about three sizes too small. And then, you know, nobody wants to see the
or
belly
like
button.
Super low cut. They go down to, like, their belly button.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Nobody wants to see the belly button. And if you're going to do that, please at least take the time to clean the lint out of the belly? I mean, seriously, if you're going to do that. And don't even get me started about the fellas prancing around on the beaches with the Speedos. That's mostly a European problem.
Yeah.
And San Francisco and New York City.
Fair.
But mostly a European problem. So he could have mentioned that. If I'm taking the guy to task, the preacher to task, I think he should have said, this is for everybody. But clearly something set him off to write that post is what I'm thinking. So anyway, Beth Moore is, so what's amazing here is that Beth Moore had the exact same opinion as this guy did back in 2016. She has gone way off the reservation. She left the Southern Baptist Convention Church. She's been going through some sort of, I don't know, is it a midlife crisis?
I feel like it's a midlife crisis.
She's 60 years old, or is she, I think she's in her 60s.
Dang.
Or maybe late
50s. I would have never thought. She does look good.
So my question, so what happened, and it's two words. People are asking, Todd, what happened to Beth Moore? What's going on with Beth Moore? She's going woke. I'm going to explain what happened to Beth Moore. Two words. Donald Trump. That's what happened. Donald Trump broke. He broke a good many evangelical leaders. Just she came down, and this is a terrible story. She came down with a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome.
There's no cure.
And there is no cure. It's a terminal case.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel horrible for her because there's no, I don't think there's any coming back from this. But anyway, she has been out there bashing the president. And here's what gets me. The whole point of this, is she saying it's okay for young Christian girls to go running around in, you know, skimpy bikinis and, you know, showing off their, you know, God-given abilities and talents? Majestic mountains? I mean, is that what Beth Moore is saying here?
I don't know if she's saying that. I think she's more just replying to his... But I agree with you that she's gone off the rails. But
I'm gonna read to you what she wrote in 2016.
Okay, because I haven't seen her reply.
Here's what she wrote on Twitter, 2016. Immodesty is self-exhibition. Not showing off our big honors.
Weird wording, but continue.
Is that code for something
else?
That's
weird. I've never heard that before. Showing her age there, I guess.
Not sure showing off our big honors is godlier than showing off big breasts. We could.
That's just weird.
We could all use some coverage. I mean, that's pretty much what that guy was saying. The preacher was saying.
Yeah, it was. I'm not a big fan of the way he worded this at all.
So now it's like, okay, girls, whip them out. I mean, where? What happened? How did you get from point A to being Amish to being a member of like the Miss USA pageant?
See, there's a happy medium here.
There's got to be some wiggle room.
Yeah.
Maybe some Lutherans can weigh in and help us out here. But here's what I don't get. And this, it's people like Mrs. Moore are very influential in the evangelical community. They hate Donald Trump. And there are a lot of other people just like her that have much bigger platforms. And that's not a euphemism. I'm saying big platforms as in that's what they... you guys know what I'm talking about here. It's just digging a hole, digging a
you
hole.
You are.
So the point is... This kind of mentality, I think, is just dangerous overall for the culture because it's destabilizing the church and it's marginalizing their impact on the culture. And if you've listened to this program for any amount of time, you know, we're not a church service. We're not a Christian show, but our show is flavored by Christian values and teachings. And we believe that we are a nation that is, in fact, a Christian nation. That's what I believe. How can you say that? How can you say that, Todd? How can you say that America is a Christian nation? How can you say that? Well, it's my show. I can pretty much say whatever I want to. But anyway, this has caused a big kerfuffle in the Christian community. So a lot of Christian women are saying that they should be able to go out there and, I guess, run around buck naked if they want to. But others are like, okay... So what does this mean? Is it now permissible to show up to the Lady Prayer Circle on Wednesdays wearing Daisy Dukes and thong bikinis? It's you okay there, Grace?
Oh, Todd, just keep digging the hole. Go ahead.
No, does anybody have a problem with what the preacher wrote? I
don't like the way he said it.
And that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I think that low-cut shirts is very subjective. I don't know. But it's weird stuff that he pointed out.
But it goes both ways.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to go down that road, you got to
I've never heard a preacher preach to men about modesty ever in my entire life. So I've only heard it to women.
All I can tell you is I was in junior high school when the Dukes of Hazzard came out. And I know a good many Baptists, you know, who watch that show.
It
was Daisy Duke,
mm-hmm.
you know. It wasn't Boss Hogg. Oh, no, it was Daisy Duke. I'm just saying. So, all right, we got to take a break here. I know it's a weird way to start off the show today, but I told you, I warned you it was going to be weird. We've got a lot more to get into, including some breaking news on the Spygate story. And we're going to be taking your calls on this as well. I'm just curious, do you have a problem with what this pastor said about modesty? Is that old-fashioned? Should we be more progressive like Beth Moore? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. By the way, I want to give a shout out to a bunch of high school kids all over Washington State walking out of class. This has been going on all week, and these kids, and we're talking about hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of kids that are marching out. They're refusing to go back to class. They're on strike over these mask mandates, and they say we're done with the face masks. Now, let me say this. If this sort of thing continues to happen, not just in Washington State, but all across America, if that happens, we will see change in America. So God bless these great patriots in Washington State that are setting a great example. They're not being rude. They're not being disrespectful. They're getting out there and they're taking care of business. And I say, God bless them. God love them. And we're going to stand along with these great patriots. All right, let's get to the phones here. Cleveland, Georgia. Eileen, WDUN. All right, Eileen, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I just wanted to weigh in on this, and I'm not criticizing or judging anybody that chooses to wear provocative outfits, male or female. But in my experience, I had become a born-again Christian in 2004, and there became a spiritual change in me where I instinctively knew that I wasn't to wear, I didn't want to wear provocative stuff anymore. And believe me, I did previously. But it was like that part of me died, you know, where I felt like I had to expose myself to the world. We don't have to. There's such a thing as a class, but I believe that it's just ridiculous about all this. You know, I understand where the man was coming from, but I truly believe that a true Christian woman wouldn't even know that instinctively. So that's really all I have to say.
Yeah, Eileen, look, I get exactly where you're coming from, and I get where the preacher's coming from. It's just sort of weird, and I'm curious to know, and Mrs. Moore has since deleted that tweet, hasn't offered an explanation up, but a lot of people follow her teachings, and, you know, they are influenced by what she says, and I would be very curious to know why her views on that part of the Bible, I guess, have changed. I don't know, but at the same time, there are a bunch of fellas that need to do the same thing. You folks wearing the overalls without the t-shirts, yeah, I'm talking to you. You know who you are. I've seen it out at the Waffle House. All right, hey, look, we got to take a break. We're going to talk about the military. Are you concerned that that we're screwed? 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. We'll be right back, America. Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details. All right, I bring up this story only because we are getting dangerously close to what could be a shooting war with the Russians and the Chinese, and Lord knows what the Iranians are up to, but we're in a pretty dangerous point, a dangerous period in American history and world history. And there are grave concerns among military veterans and those that are currently serving in the military that we are just not ready to fight anybody. We are not ready for a war. And I'm curious to know from you, the great listeners of this program, what you have heard from those that you might know that have either served or have served in the military, and do you share these concerns? 844-747-8868, that's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So the military yesterday released a statement talking about the most important issues facing the U.S. military. What are the necessities of the U.S. military? Now, it seems to me that if I were making that list, Todd Starnes, if I was making that list, I would say, well, one of the necessities is to have the biggest, baddest, meanest fighting force on the planet. You want people that are going to go in and are going to be able to take care of business. And if necessary, God forbid, they have to take down the enemy, they will take down the enemy. Those are the kinds of people I would want in my military. I would want the scariest, biggest, baddest people around. Now, I would also think that we would need the best equipment in the land. It doesn't matter where it is, how much it costs, but we would outfit our troops with state-of-the-art fighting equipment. That, to me, seems like that it would be a necessity for us to have those kinds of things. What say you? One man said, back when I was in the military, and I'm reading this from our Facebook Live comments, and a lot of you folks are weighing in on this. First and foremost is to know how to effectively use the equipment assigned and function as a team with one goal, one objective, one mission. Everything else is irrelevant. This is what John wrote in. Nancy says we need strong men for the job. Morty says it's more important to kill the enemy. The end. You see, I'm with you. I'm with you, Morty. I think that is the biggest, that is the bigger issue here. But that is not what the military, the Biden Pentagon, considers to be a necessity. These are the necessities for the military by way of the Department of Defense. And I'm going to read this and we're going to go to your calls. Diversity, equity, and inclusion in the military are necessities for the United States. That's according to Bishop Garrison, the senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense for Human Capital and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Garrison spoke to the Center for a New American Security today about the progress being made by the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Quote, I want people to see diversity, equity, and inclusion as another tool in the toolkit and another way of solving these problems. Now, I have not served in the military. When I was of that age, we were not in an armed conflict. Besides that, this heart valve thing I was born with, it would have prevented me from serving. But I didn't serve in the military. My dad did. Grandpa did. Had a lot of uncles who served in the military, mostly in the Air Force. I don't believe in all of the conversations I heard with them, and I had five uncles who served in World War II. One was a prisoner of war in Germany. Another was shot up at Iwo Jima. They all lived. They all survived. Not once did I hear them, when they were talking about their battlefield experiences, did I hear them saying, you know what? I'm so glad that there was an Asian American and a Hispanic guy and a Pacific Rim guy and a black guy in our unit. I never heard any kind of talk about that. Not once did I hear any kind of a talk about that. But I did hear him talking about teamwork and unity and brotherhood and being there for each other and fighting together as one cohesive unit. I heard a lot of talk about that. But now we have a military, and all they are concerned about is tolerance and diversity and inclusion. They want to make sure that before female troops go out onto the battlefield, they're able to have a manicure and a pedicure and get their hair done. And they can have their hair done any way they want. They want to make sure the male troops are able to identify or self-identify as whatever they want to identify as. It's all about the individual now in the United States military. It is not about a cohesive fighting unit. And I believe that right now, Vladimir Putin is looking at what's happening in our military, and he's laughing because he knows that we are weak. He knows that this is not a fighting force to be feared. It is a fighting force to be laughed at because of the leadership of the Pentagon. This has nothing to do with the rank and file. This has everything to do with the appointed leadership of the Pentagon. And they have made our nation a laughingstock. It's ridiculous. And it's going to be very dangerous, folks. Very dangerous. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Let's go to North Carolina. Roger is listening to us on WSIC. Roger, what is on your mind today?
Well, a couple of things. First, you're absolutely right about inclusivity and diversity. The mission of the U.S. military, especially the Army, is to close with and destroy the enemies of the United States. Bottom line. Close with and destroy the enemies of the United States defending freedom at home. Okay? Sending someone who is transgender into a combat situation when they require injections of hormones so that they can maintain the illusion that they are what they think they are is not combat effective. You don't send somebody into combat that needs constant medical care. That's why you don't have diabetics in the military. So just because they want to be a soldier, I want to be 20 years old and back in the Ranger Battalion. It's not going to happen. Okay? That's the first thing. They need to stop using the military as a social experiment laboratory.
And
Roger, let me jump in. Let me jump in here on that. That is something that uniquely happened in the Obama administration. That did not happen in Bill Clinton's administration or Jimmy Carter's. This happened in Barack Obama. He's the guy that turned this into a social engineering petri dish, and Joe Biden is just following up on that.
Well, it's a great segue into the second thing. The problem with the Ukraine is our fault.
And how
it goes
so?
It goes back to Obama. Well, it goes back further. In 93, when the Warsaw Pact broke up, we made assurances to the Soviets that we would not bring former Warsaw Pact countries into NATO. What the Russian opinion is, it's the same thing as if Mexico went into a military alliance with China and China parked 18 divisions off of Texas. This is how the Russians are looking at it. 2008, Barack Obama goes to a NATO summit and promises Ukraine, yeah, you can join the EU and you can join NATO. The problem with bringing Ukraine into NATO is an Article 5 of the NATO Charter says any NATO member that's attacked, the rest of NATO has to jump in with them. And Angela Merkel, the British, and the French have all said, no, this is not happening. So if Obama had just left it alone, Putin would not be the strong man he is. We would not have Russian troops mounting in the Ukraine. You cannot look at Eastern Europe with 21st century American liberal eyes and say what they ought to do.
Roger, we're going to have to leave it there. It is a good thought. And again, I hope and pray we do not get into a shooting war with the Russians. I don't think we're ready. And I suspect a lot of you feel the same way. Folks, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to Gainesville, Georgia, also North Carolina. A couple of guys want to weigh in on the modesty preacher. Folks, now more than ever, so vitally important that we continue to support companies that share our values. And that's why we love Patriot Mobile. They sponsor our Newsmaker line. They're America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs. The owner, just a true, deep believer in our Lord, and they do a great, great job for this country. Patriot Mobile has broad nationwide coverage, and they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or small. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, they're going to give you an even bigger discount. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code, Todd, and you're going to get free activation and a great gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
By now, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and how Mike Lindell is just a great American patriot. And he is. And he has done it again with his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers designed to wear indoors or outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And they're also made with quality leather suede. Now, for a limited time, Mike is offering 50% off his My Slippers. So comfortable, you're going to want to get some for the whole family. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes and click on the radio listener square. Use my promo code Starnes. You're going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstocked items such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and so much more. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes. You can also call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes.
By the way, we have a fresh batch of Biscuit books. I think we're in the third printing now of that devotion book. The thing has just exploded, and I am probably the most surprised of all. I mean, it's a great book, co-authored by my good friend Michelle Cox, but we just didn't realize that the book would be that popular. Ran into a lady yesterday wandering around Memphis, and she said, oh, I love that book. I love the Biscuit book. So if you would like to get a personally signed copy of our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl, All you need to do is go to our website, toddstearns.com, and click on the store, and I will personalize and autograph a copy of the book just for you. Again, our daily biscuit, devotions with a drawl, lots of great recipes, inspirational stories, and some pretty hilarious stuff. You're going to do a lot of laughing reading this book. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Gainesville, Georgia, Paul, listening to us on WDUN, wants to talk about that preacher. All right, Paul, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I just have to stand with the preacher to kind of feel sorry for him, everything coming at him when he just states what the Bible says. Modest and decent is the way that, you know, a church is founded on the Word of God. And if they don't preach the Word of God, they need to shut the doors anyway. So, and God don't tempt anybody. That's not his business in tempting. So I'd just like to say those two things.
Paul, years ago, when I first started out in the journalism world, I was a sports reporter, and it was in a small town. And I'll never forget there was a basketball game, and I guess they had the cheerleaders were doing some sort of a dance routine. And I was sitting there, sitting down taking some notes, and I overheard a couple of old-timers that were at the basketball game sitting there on the bleachers, and I overheard them as they were watching these girls who were scantily clad, and they were writhing all over the floor as if they were, at the Pink Pony stripper club. And yeah. And one of the old-timers turned to the other and said, he said, are we supposed to throw dollar bills at them? What are we supposed to do here?
Oh, my.
And at the same time, you had all these lovely church-going moms of the daughters, and they were just applauding and cheering as their daughters were doing very inappropriate things on the basketball court. So it's I hear what you're saying, and it is something that we ought to talk about. But again, I think it goes both ways. Paul, appreciate the call. Let's go to Jeff in North Carolina on the talk station. All right, Jeff, what say you?
Well, first, thank you for what you do. I appreciate that. Appreciate you taking my call. And I just want to talk about the preacher's situation here. I think there's more than enough verses to do a sermon on modesty. And I think I've sat in a sanctuary and seen scantily dressed women come in there. And a couple of ladies from the church get up and go over and ask them, you know, please, you're going to have to leave and come back with something. You got to cover yourself up.
Really?
Children in here.
Really? They did that in the church?
They did it. They did it in the sanctuary. Wow. And they did it politely. But these are college girls that have got stuff hanging out on both ends. And you don't need to. And there's texts, and we know what they are, that say, you know, if you're tempting somebody else, then, you know, and then now they're looking at you with bad thoughts. They've committed adultery, and you've caused that. That's not good. First off, when I go to church, I go to dress for like I'm dressing for a king, because I'm going there for King Jesus to meet, and I want to be as respectful as I can. But it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have; you dress as good as you can to be there. And that's just. And I've gone to church in blue jeans. And you're traveling across the country. You stop to go into church for the morning service, and doesn't matter what you have on, just so it's not exposing yourself. But the worst case scenario that I've ever dealt with is doing special music or a music program up front or something, and you have maybe four or five women out there breastfeeding, and they don't have blankets on them. And so
in church?
Oh, yeah.
During the offertory?
Or during any part of the program, and you're up front, and you're standing there. It's very distracting. And I'm all for breastfeeding. I think it's the best thing for the children and for the mothers. But I think you got to cover yourself up, and that is not the place to be exposing yourself, because some of them just don't care. They just, you know, throw it out there, and the baby's, you know, hunting for it, and, you know, it's just crazy. But I don't think that's appropriate in church either. And some of them will argue with you, well, the baby's got to eat. Well, get up and go in the back room somewhere, and you'll be fine. But that's, you know, again, I think there's enough verses in the Bible to justify, and if your church needs it, you know, it's like gossip. Would you give a sermon on gossip? You know, yeah, you should, because it could destroy churches.
You know, and Jeff, so here's what gets me about all this. And because I hear, I mean, the mere fact that we're having this conversation, you know, I'll get labeled as some sort of, you know, a misogynist, sexist pig. And that's okay. No. But here's what gets me, Jeff. I mean, if you're going to dress that scantily, and there are some folks out there, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I've seen it in the church too. And I'm not going to name names, but I've seen what you've just described. Well, except for the breastfeeding mothers, but I've seen the rest of it. And at some point, you just have to ask yourself, okay, so what is the point of all this? You know, if you're going to take the time just to put something that's going to cover the pieces parts, why not just run around buck naked like they did back in National Geographic? I mean, seriously,
I just don't understand it, Jeff.
That's why there always needs to be an extra couple of choir robes around, you know,
just in case. And I wouldn't want my wife dressing like that, whether it's in church or anywhere else.
No, not at all.
Beautiful. And I think God intends you to be for your husband, and husbands for their wives. And, you know, I've never seen men inappropriately dressed, but I'm sure, you know.
If you've ever had a plumbing problem, you would have. I can tell you.
I'm talking about in church.
Oh, in church. Well, of course. All right, Jeff, we got to run. They're going to yell at me here, but appreciate the call. Could be the quote of the day, Grace Baker, stuff hanging out on both ends.
That's no words.
Pretty descriptive there. So, geez, Alou. Holy cow. All right, I didn't realize the church had a milk bar, so that's new. All right. I knew a church that had a juice bar once, Grace, and it was actually called King of the Juice. That was the actual name of it.
I love that.
Isn't that great? All right, we got to take a break. And I told you it was weird, folks. But stick around. Hour two coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Grace Baker, I'm having a difficult day around here, and you've got to stop sending me those text messages like that. Jeez, Alou. So, I got the new iPhone 13, Grace. And I can't figure out, there's something wrong with it, and I may have inadvertently called 911. So if the police show up, just tell them it was a mistake,
You don't mind.
No, I was trying to turn off the phone and start it back up again.
I'm not sure that was in my job description.
I'll tell
them a boomer was trying to operate a smartphone.
Okay, first of all, I am not a boomer. Second, I am Generation X. We are the cool people generation.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you very much.
Okay.
At least our generation had good music.
I'll give you that one.
I'm just saying. You know what I ought to do is I ought to ask the guys that are the DOJ guys, that secret ops team that's investigating all the lawmakers. Maybe they can help me figure this
Probably they could.
All right. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Good to have you with us. Want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You know, we were talking about Congressman Troy Nehls yesterday on this program. Congressman, I hope your ears were burning, but it was all good what we had to say about you.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's good to be with you and with all your listeners.
Congressman, you have been targeted, and we're curious to know if you know why, and I want you to take us through and explain to our listeners what happened to you and your staff at your office up on Capitol Hill.
Sure. Yes, I've been targeted because of my positions as it relates to January 6th. Leader McCarthy asked me to be one of the five on the select committee. Of course, Nancy, for the first time in the history of Congress, rejected a minority leader's picks to be on a select committee, so we didn't get to participate. And so I continued to investigate January 6th, look at all the data, look at all the intelligence, and what I discovered was very disturbing because what we know is that the leadership in the intelligence section of the Capitol Police, all the information was there. They knew the Capitol was going to be the target. They knew the extremist groups were going to be there. They knew that individuals were threatening with violence and it was just going to be a horrible day, but the intelligence section did nothing with it. They did nothing. They kept it. They hid it. And I've also been very vocal about the death of Ashley Babbitt, Lieutenant Byrd killing Ashley Babbitt. I've been very vocal critic about that as well. So I feel certain that the leadership of the Capitol Police are not very happy with me. And then all of a sudden now I find out that I'm being criminally investigated by the Capitol Police as it relates to content on my whiteboard inside my private office.
Congressman, can you share with us what was on that whiteboard?
Absolutely. So they claim, the Capitol Police claim that on a Saturday afternoon they found my office door wide open. And a police officer walks in there from the Capitol Police, and I believe, and I told this to Chief Manger, I have no issues with him being in my office because he was there to check to see if there was anyone in there that shouldn't be there, unauthorized, right? My door was apparently found wide open. I have no issues with that. But the problem is that when he was there, he started snooping around and looking at my legislative materials. And on that whiteboard, that's where I kept all my legislative priorities, what I was going to try to accomplish this year in Congress. He found some of the language on that whiteboard suspicious, so he took a picture. And then what he did is he sent that to what he calls the command center, who then sent it to a special agent, who then sent it to another agent. And then Monday, 2 days, 3 days later, I have these three secret squirrels, these deep undercover agents looking like construction workers, confront one of my employees at my office, one of my staffers, and ask them about the language on the whiteboard. And the language on the whiteboard, like body armor. And body armor was related to legislation. You probably don't realize, but we buy body armor from China. I don't know why in the hell we're buying body armor from China. So I said, the employee said, we're drafting legislation as it relates to body armor from China. We shouldn't be doing it. And then the other question they grilled my staffer was, you also have a handwritten map of the Rayburn Building with an X on it. And they said, what's that all about? And my staffer explained, fellas, that was a map, an X on that map was to tell the intern, to show the intern where the ice machine was in the Rayburn Building, because the ice machine in our building, Longworth, was broken. That was the explanation.
So at that point, what happened? Did they say, hey, look, man, we're really sorry, we screwed up here?
No, they left. They left. They never came back. They never notified me. They never notified my chief of staff. They just left. And I find it very, very disturbing that they took this material off of my whiteboard, which has my legislative priorities. I mean, this is a little overreach. And I reassured the chief. I said, Chief, the question is not about the officer in my office. The question and the concern is, why is he taking pictures of my whiteboard that he said determined was suspicious, and then you investigate me? I have no clue if he only took one picture. I'm not really certain it was that officer that took the picture, because the officer that checked my office never even claims he took a picture. So, but the chief is clammed up on me now. He's gone dark. He's not willing to answer any of my follow-up questions. I just posted a video on the door that they claim was wide open. I just posted a video. My door does not stay wide open. When you open that door all the way, it closes on its own. So I have even some concern with that. What do you mean you found my door wide open? It doesn't stay wide open. It closes on its own.
And
so
Congressman,
I have a lot of questions.
Congressman, when did this happen? When did they come into your office?
This was in November. They say they found my door open on November 20th, which was a Saturday afternoon about 3:30 p.m. Now, understand, everybody, my office staff left Friday afternoon, 5 o'clock, they went home. I said, everybody go home. It's Thanksgiving week coming up. Everybody, we're out of session. Go home and enjoy, spend some time with your family. So the last office personnel I had there was Friday. And they, all of my staff said, we locked the door. We didn't leave any door open. And then all of a sudden, Saturday afternoon, the Capitol Police are saying they found my door wide open. It's hard for me to believe that.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our Liberty University studios, Congressman Troy Nels from Texas. Congressman, I have to believe there are security cameras. Have you been able to obtain any footage to show what happened outside of your office?
No, the Capitol, the office buildings, the Longworth, there's three office buildings that house office members of Congress. The Cannon, the Longworth, and the Rayburn building. And in the Longworth building, there are no cameras in the hallways that would show people coming and going from in member offices. So now there are cameras that are at the entrances, but there are no cameras
So you mentioned you were under criminal investigation. Are you still under criminal investigation? And what is the crime? You know, wanting ice for your Diet Coke? I don't understand.
Well, the chief of police, when I first confronted him about this, started asking questions. He said that I was never under investigation. He wants this to go away. He's trying to hide from this. He doesn't want me talking about this. And he said, you were never under criminal investigation. I said, chief, it's hard to believe that, because when he takes a picture of that whiteboard and sent it to the command center, and which then was sent to a sergeant, you think a sergeant would have looked at that and said, what do you think is suspicious about this young man? To the young officer, this is nothing. What are you doing? But he then sent it to someone else who sent it to someone else, and then I'd get these three secret squirrels knocking on my office on Monday. No, they know who I am. The leadership knows who I am. They know I've been very, very vocal about the leadership, and quite honestly, the incompetence in the leadership of the Capitol Police. They know I've been very vocal about Ashley Babbitt, Lieutenant Byrd, and what they're trying to do is intimidate me. They're trying to silence me. And quite honestly, I believe they're trying to destroy me.
Is it working? Have you been bullied? Have you been intimidated into silence, Congressman?
I'll guarantee you this, Todd. I am one tough sheriff. Nancy, you are toying with the wrong sheriff.
Well said. Congressman, we want you to keep us updated on this, and we stand alongside of you. This is reprehensible, and it harkens back to the Watergate era, where you had the secret break-ins. That when I first heard about what happened to you, it was political games is what's going on here.
Yes, and here we are today now. So the IG was in my office, and his name is Michael Bolton. He's not the singer. The IG is Michael Bolton. And he is looking into this. He said he is going to conduct an investigation. I appreciate that. I said I would appreciate it if it would be an independent, standalone investigation. And he is doing such. And we've also asked through our social media, we told the chief, Capitol Police chief, hey, chief, this picture that was so alarming and so suspicious and this language on my board is so threatening, why don't you release the photo? Release the picture that you have that you took and investigated me for, show the picture, release the photo, and they still have not done so. Someone told me they deleted it. Todd, not a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
That's just unacceptable, and we need answers, and we need to pray that the Republicans take back control of the House and the Senate so we can launch investigations to find out what they did to you and the reason why.
Yes, sir. But again, Nancy Pelosi said yesterday she doesn't have any power over the Capitol Police. That is a bold-faced lie. She oversees the Capitol Police. She oversees the Capitol Police Board. She appoints one of the three members. Let me tell you something. Nancy Pelosi doesn't like me because she knows I have an enormous amount of experience in law enforcement conducting investigations, and she knows I am the member of Congress that has taken that deep dive into January 6th. And I'm uncovering things that she doesn't want me to talk about. Was Nancy Pelosi involved in delaying the National Guard on January 6th? I believe she was. But the chair of this committee, this Benny Thompson, said Nancy's off limits. There's a cover up here, folks. The American people need to understand this isn't about Donald Trump. This isn't Donald Trump's fault. This is Nancy Pelosi and the leadership of the Capitol Police not preventing January 6th from taking place in the first place.
It's a fair point. It really is. And Congressman, I hate to do this, but we've got to run for a break here. God bless you, and you keep fighting the good fight.
God bless you and all your listeners.
All right, that's Congressman Troy Nels out of Texas, and it sounds like Pelosi picked the wrong congressman to pick on. Wow. Good for this congressman. He's fighting back, and that's what you got to do. But again, he brings up a great point and something that we have been talking about since January the 7th, the day after all of this, the day after the riot at the Capitol. It all could have been prevented if Pelosi had not told the Capitol Police to stand down. They had opportunities. As a matter of fact, President Trump himself suggested, hey, you guys might want to think about getting the National Guard up here. Now, the mainstream media turns that around and they're saying Trump never ordered. No, the president cannot order that, but he suggested it. So even the president, and just think about this for a moment. If Donald Trump was really trying to stage an insurrection, why would he tell them, call out the National Guard to protect the Capitol building? Why would he do that? That is an there is no dispute that fact that Trump was actually talking about the National Guard and suggesting the National Guard should get to D.C. Nobody's disputing that. Nobody is. So the congressman has a very valid point, and it's a terrific question, and that is why that one issue right there is why I'm not prepared to weigh in on what really happened on that day. Why did Nancy Pelosi, why did congressional leadership tell Capitol Police to stand down? Why did they want the Capitol building unprotected on that day? Someone needs to answer that question, and the only person who can answer that question is the person in charge of the Capitol Police. And who is that person? Nancy Pelosi. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, want to give a shout out to all of the good people of Memphis, Tennessee. Folks, if you don't vote for Republicans, it's a hopeless cause. I mean, it really is. So we are, day nine of the power outage. Tens of thousands of Memphians still without power. They've had something like 1,200 reports of fires. And so now apparently when the power comes back on, I don't know what happens here, but the houses are just catching on fire. And they've had, 55 or so residential fires. It's a mess. And nobody cares. Grace Baker, I haven't heard a single Republican leader in this part of the state of Tennessee condemning the Democrats for the way they have allowed the infrastructure to crumble.
No, and our governor's been pretty silent, too.
Where's the governor? The governor's a Republican.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
He signed off on an emergency declaration, but they've got to start. Look, we've got an election cycle coming. I mean, this is what I don't understand. The Republicans here on this end of the state, they don't like to fight. They don't have the fight and the fire in the belly.
That's the thing. I mean, how do you expect people, though, to vote Republican when really the Republicans aren't doing much either?
No, they're not.
So,
they're not.
I mean,
It's ridiculous.
I think they think they can't win, so they don't even try.
It's frustrating. I had one candidate. I will not name a name. And I thought, I'm going to try to support this candidate. I like the positions, like the platform, the whole nine yards. And so I had a question about giving because you're only allowed to give a certain amount of money and you can't go over. Well, they didn't have that information on their website. So I'm sending an email. Grace, I've sent two emails. I want to give a candidate some money and they will not return my calls.
That's a lost cause.
What is, that's exactly right.
I would go put that money somewhere
else. That's it. Okay, fine. That explains why there is only one Republican elected in all of the leadership of Memphis,
exactly.
Tennessee. Just one, the district attorney. And Soros is coming after her. So anyway, here's the point I was trying to make. Ford has announced that they are building what will be the largest maker of electric cars in all of America right here in the Memphis area.
Yeah, I saw that.
Meanwhile, we can't even get the power back on.
I think we need to take care of our problems first.
Down at the Piggly Wiggly. Yeah. So just something to think about there. Unbelievable. But Republicans in Memphis, shame on you. You got to get out there and you got to start speaking out about this nonsense. All right, let's go to Bill, Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Bill, I hope you have power.
I do. You know, I was out for, and I don't want to make anybody feel bad. We were out of power for literally about 20 minutes.
I'm hanging up on you, Bill.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. I probably shouldn't have said that. And I feel for all the people, and you're absolutely right about the leadership here, both Democrat and Republican. Democrat leadership in all of our major cities have let everything crumble socially, economically, and at every level. And Republicans aren't standing up and saying, look, this is what happened. They need to be campaigning on the Democratic failures of these cities and these areas. And, you know, it would be so much easier. It would be so easy to do, and it would be so much easier if they did to win an election.
Well,
because
Bill,
they just need to do that.
They uh-huh. do. And here's all right, Bill, hang tight for just a second. We are coming up on a break, and I know you want to talk about Mitch McConnell. So let's put Bill back on hold for just a minute, and we'll try to get back to him after this break here. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back, everybody. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be around the nation today. So a couple of days ago, I was telling you about this crazy story out of California, Lyman Gilmore Middle School. A kid, just a good and decent eighth grader, he was wearing a face mask, as they're required to do out in California, and this face mask had the design of the thin blue line flag on, and this substitute teacher goes bonkers on this kid and starts yelling at him, accusing him of the thin blue line flag of being a Confederate symbol, the whole nine yards, just saying horrible things about police officers. So fortunately, this young man's mom stood up and wrote about this on social media, and now the entire country knows about it. She is a mama bear, and she is fired up. And folks, trust me, you don't want to mess with mama bears, especially when you're coming after their cubs. Amanda McCollum is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Amanda, what an honor to have you with us today.
Hi, thank you so much.
Wow, what a story. And I want you to take us back to when you found out what this teacher, this substitute teacher, did to your son.
I came home from work, and my son had just gotten home from school, and he said, "Hey, Mom, I have to tell you about this incident with this awful substitute today." So as I'm listening to his accounts of this, you know, of course, I am shocked. I am can't believe what I'm hearing. And as we're having this conversation, I have parents of students that were in the class sending me videos that they recorded to myself and to my son's phone. And so we're starting to filter through these, I mean, dozens of videos that were taken from the cell phones. And I was even in more disbelief and becoming more and more angry and heartbroken. But then also, you know, super proud of my son for standing up, because honestly, the video accounts are so much worse than even what my son was describing to me. It was wild.
I had heard you doing an interview with one of the local TV stations, and it sounded bad the way you described it. But you're right, when you actually see the video, and folks, we have that video up on our website. When you see that video, Amanda, that is just unacceptable.
Absolutely, it is really disturbing. This sort of thing should never be in the classroom to begin with. I mean, we're talking about 13-year-olds; they're impressionable. They're not, you know, this is not a political statement. And the teacher just lost it. You know, it was completely unprovoked by my son or any students. And it's just extremely disturbing.
What was he doing? Your son's name is Lucas. What was Lucas doing when all of this happened?
Yeah, the kids were just in math class. It was quiet in the class as they were working on some assignments. Head down, masks on. Quiet teacher walks over and sits on the desk behind my son and just starts telling him that his he said, I believe his words were along the lines of, that's not a real American flag. And that's what he starts with. And my son, like, looked up, like, are you talking to me? What's happening? And he just continues, that's not a real American flag. That's un-American. And then it just escalates from there.
Now, I also understand he made some disparaging comments about police officers. Tell us what he said.
Yeah, apparently this substitute told the class that he knows of two people that have been shot by people of law enforcement, police officers, deputies. And he said, if the police don't like you, they'll just shoot you.
Unbelievable. So, Amanda, this is even more important because I understand your family has a connection to law enforcement. Is that right? Did I read that correctly?
You sure did, yeah. My ex-husband, my children's father, has been in law enforcement their entire lives. So he's a sergeant for the local sheriff's office. And their stepmom is a police officer in a different county as well.
You see, I am so glad you decided to speak out because, you know, again, we needed to know about this. And the good news here is that because you spoke out and you alerted the school district, why don't you bring us up to speed on what's happened with the substitute teacher?
Absolutely. So immediately the same evening, I did get an email from the principal letting us know, the whole school know, that there was an incident. And right away, the teacher had been blacklisted from teaching in this school district again. And then when I spoke to her the next day, she assured me that she had filed a request with the county to not allow this teacher to teach in any schools within this county again. And then from there, we do have a meeting coming up with the superintendent of schools here in Grass Valley. And we are working on putting statements and a report together to submit that to the state. I think the credential board, something along those lines. I'm not sure what it's called. But basically to prevent him from teaching at any schools in the state again.
You know, Amanda, we talk about these kinds of stories happening all over the country. Were you surprised to find out that it was happening not just in your school, but it was happening to your own son?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we really, as parents, entrust these teachers, these people of authority, with our children, with their safety, with a healthy environment to educate them, not indoctrinate them, not fill them with their own personal beliefs, whether it be religious or political or whatnot. And so to see that this is actually happening and so blatantly, you know, this teacher had no problem just going on and on and on for several minutes, I think up to 20 minutes is what I hear about this, that it was extremely shocking. But, you know, I will say that we've seen little bits of this here and there in other ways, smaller ways, not so loud and proud in the schools. But this one, just the fact that this was undeniable. I mean, we couldn't not say something about it, and it was caught on camera. So I think it needed to be seen, and we can now, as parents, can see what is really happening. And I know this is my son's classroom is not the only place this is happening.
No, I think you're right about that. And now, though, it seems as though the school district did the right thing. You did the right thing. Your son did the right thing. And again, when you see something like this, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to speak out and you've got to speak up. I know it can be a little scary, but you know, when you do that, good things will happen. And Amanda, it looks like, you know, good things have happened here. And I'm glad, you know, that the school is stepping in to reassure your son, because that's an impressionable age, that your son didn't do anything wrong.
Absolutely. You know, it has really been such a neat thing to see, for my son especially, to see all of the support that he has. You know, there are a lot of, you know, anti-law enforcement, especially in the county that we live in California, of course. We do see a lot of that. So it's really been a neat thing for him to see all of the support near and far, saying that they are proud of him and that he did the right thing. Just that reassurance, you know, that even if it's hard to do the right thing, and to stand up for what you believe in. And I just think that's just such a great thing to see.
Well said. Well, Amanda, look, we know you're taking time away from your lunch break, so we don't want to take up all of the time. And we really do appreciate you coming on the program today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Amanda McCallum, everybody. She is the mom who spoke out in California after that crazy video surfaced where her son was berated by a substitute teacher over his face mask. We've got the video, and you've got to see the video, and you'll understand exactly why she did what she did. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Man, do I love Newsmax. It's been a great honor to be a contributor over on Newsmax. I'll be on Chris Salcedo's show later this afternoon, by the way. Hope you tune in. Around 4:45 Central Time, 5:45 Eastern Time. Newsmax has been exposing Nancy Pelosi's hypocrisy over the past couple of weeks. $250 million. That's the number you need to remember. That's how much Nancy Pelosi is worth. She made up to $30 million on stock trades with big tech. Our good buddy Grant Stinchfield says she needs to give that money back. And he has launched a petition drive, giveitbacknancy.com. That's giveitbacknancy.com. Got to check that out. Stinchfield tonight, 8 o'clock on Newsmax, revealing the truth about Pelosi, Michael Savage, Dick Morris, also on the show. Newsmax now on every major cable system. You can also catch Newsmax free on your streaming platforms, or you can do what I did, which is download that awesome free Newsmax app on my smartphone. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go back to the phones. Bill in Cordova was right in the middle of a thought, and we interrupted. Bill, you wanted to weigh in on Mitch McConnell's comments about January 6th.
Yeah, you know, initially he was saying it wasn't an insurrection. Now he's apparently caved and said, yeah, it was an insurrection. And I agree with him, it was. But I think it needs to go more to who did it. And it wasn't Trump supporters. There were some innocent Trump supporters in that group, I believe, that didn't expect what was happening to happen. But they were, by and large, people like Jonathan Sullivan, who went out and admittedly purchased a Trump hat so he could blend in, and then embedded himself with a CNN reporter to get into the Capitol and tear the place up. And it was all contrived and planned. And you're right about Trump. He did say he offered 10,000 National Guardsmen to come in and protect the Capitol, and Nancy Pelosi declined it. And that's all on Nancy Pelosi. She bears the burden for everything that happened January 6th because she could have stopped it.
Let's turn the radio down, Bill.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to hear the echo. The problem here, Bill, is
hear me now?
Yeah, you're fine. Can you hear us? All right, I think we lost Bill, but Bill, our apologies. I don't know what happened there. But to Bill's point, when you look at what Pelosi could have done, she could have ensured that the Capitol was safe and secure and did not do it. There were multiple levels, multiple layers of security. And we've all seen the video. We have seen the Capitol Police moving aside the barriers and welcoming the people into the building. Now, there were other places that did not happen. And there's no doubt that people broke the law that day, and those people should be punished. They should face whatever penalty is there. You attack a police officer, you pay a price for that. But by and large, most of the people there, if you're invited into the White House by a uniformed police officer holding a weapon, that's not a crime. All right, let's go to Patty, North Carolina, WSIC. Patty, what's going on?
Hey, how are you, Todd?
I'm good.
Listen, I had friends that were there that day, and I'm going to tell you something right now. You are so right. They were letting people in. I want to know, who is Ray Epps? Ray Epps was an instigator. He was an instigator. I want to know where he's at. How come he's not in jail? And I actually believe that the guy with the horns, he didn't, all right, He didn't do nothing. He walked through there. If you look at him, half the Capitol Police was taking selfies with these people.
Yeah, Patty, look, I think you and I can agree. There were some very bad things that were happening.
Believe me, I'm not saying they were right in certain things, but the Capitol Police, they were just opening, like you said, they were opening gates. They were letting them in. They were letting these people in.
There's no doubt about it, Patty, and it's all on video. So my question is, why were they letting those people in? And Patty, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a question. Is it possible that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats saw this as an opportunity to destroy Donald Trump by allowing whatever happened? You want to call it a riot, an insurrection, by allowing it to happen? They stood down.
It wasn't an insurrection.
Well,
it was not an insurrection. They were not carrying guns, and they were let in. They were breaking. I want to know who Ray Epps is, and I want to know who that Sullivan is. And that Sullivan is from Antifa. I've seen that guy before. He's from Antifa. It was a setup. They hate Donald Trump so much, they don't want him back. They hate him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Patty, let's be honest. The guy that walked into the House chamber, where the bare-faced guy with the fur vest on and the horns, the vegan. Yeah, that guy's not a Trump supporter. There's no way.
Well, he got 5 years. How's that?
Yeah. I'm with you, Patty, that we've got to get to the bottom of all of this. That's why I was so frustrated when McCarthy took a pass on the committee. Yeah, we know it's going to be a kangaroo court, but at least you get a 5 to 10 minutes to ask your questions. You got time to make statements, but he didn't do that. And that was a tactical error, because what's been happening, Patty, the nation's only getting one side of the story. One side of the story, that's it.
Right, and like I said, these guys, some of them didn't do a thing. They were, if you look at footage, they were walking in there, looked like they were taking like photos, like it looked like they were on tour. I just want to know who Ray Epps is, because there was a guy there that was instigating everything, but he never got arrested.
It is a fair point, Patty. And the government comes out and says, well, Ray Epps is not one of our guys. I'm not sure I believe that. And I've been around enough FBI agents, Secret Service agents working at the White House, traveling with the campaigns. And there is a certain look. There is a certain style, a certain swagger around these guys. And I saw that in some of those guys that were photographed, that were filmed, out at the Capitol on January the 6th. So I think the whole, honestly, Patty, I think a lot of this was set up, and I think this was meant to take out the president. That's what I think is really going on.
And you know what? I don't care how many times. You could impeach him 90 times. He's still going to come back.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about that. All right, Patty, we've got a skedaddle. Thank you for the call. And look, Patty's fired up over this. And I think a lot of people are still fired up. Maybe they don't call into talk radio, but a lot of people are really angry about what happened, because we don't know what happened. We do know this, the narrative they're trying to shove down our throats, the narrative that they're spewing on the television networks, it's not adding up. It's not adding up. I think we can all agree that you don't go out there and you don't attack police officers. You don't fight with police officers. They're there to keep the peace. But beyond that, if you've got police officers that are welcoming you into a building, to me, that looked like a setup. So you're going to set aside the barricades and you're going to welcome these people into the building. By the way, does anyone find it just coincidental that Nancy Pelosi was not even at the Capitol building that date when she should have been? Does that not cause you to wonder, why is that? Why is that? A lot of questions and no answers. And that's why we should have had actual Republicans on the January 6th committee. Not people who already had decided, without seeing any evidence, guilty as charged, We needed Republicans on that committee with open minds to, if nothing else, get the full story. But they didn't want to do that. I think that was a mistake. Hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a break for the news. We'll get right back to you. Steve Dace from The Blaze coming up as well. 844-747-8868 is our number. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
By the way, for the record, inflation now at a 40-year high, ladies and gentlemen, a 40-year high. And President Biden is absolutely clueless. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us. Want to play two audio clips for you from President Biden just mere moments ago. The president was, it was gibberish. That's all I can tell you. He was talking about Abigail somebody. This is, again, in front of the cameras, in front of the reporters, in front of the White House press corps. Take a listen.
Look, health care is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, or your congresswoman's background.
What? Let's go back. I just want to make sure maybe someone listening can figure out, can untangle what was coming out of the president's mouth here.
Look, health care is part of Abigail, Congresswoman, or your congresswoman's background.
Again. You know who has the worst job in America right now? You know who has the worst job in America? No, not you, Grace Baker. You've got the best job in America. No, the best job in America, or the worst job in America, is whoever has to sign language the president's speech. You know, that person clearly may have a drinking problem.
Or
write
the transcript.
Oh, the transcripts are, they're illegible.
Yep.
I will, after the show, I normally go and the White House website to read what the, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yep.
So he says that. So clearly there's something rattling around, and it's like a tiny little lima bean, and it's just bouncing around inside that vast cavernous black hole. I don't mean that in a racist way, but that's what they call it. What is known as the president's head, his noggin. Or if you're from Sweden, his knoggin. So he says that, and then he acknowledges and addresses the big elephant in the room, which is why we ought to be talking about the president's cognitive skills every single day.
And I was hospitalized a long time. I had a couple of years ago, cranial aneurysm. Was hospitalized for a long time.
Does that pique the interest of any of the White House press corps? I know most of them are children. I know most of them were just born in the past, I don't know, 23, 24, 25 years. Typically, in the White House press corps, you would have to work your entire career to get to that point where you are honored to be a White House correspondent. Now, they literally go trolling through college journalism departments trying to find somebody that's going to work for, I don't know, $10 an hour. They don't pay anything up there at the networks. Dirty little secret, but it's true. And so what happens is you have a lot of kids up there. And look, I don't begrudge Grace Baker. Grace Baker, you are in your 20s.
This is true.
And you're an intelligent person.
Well, thank you.
You're an informed person.
I try.
But even though you are intelligent and informed, it's hard for you to understand the context of when I say, you know what, what's happening right now reminds me of what it was like back when Jimmy Carter was president and we had the big oil crisis and the gas shortage. You didn't live through that.
Goes right over my head.
You didn't have that life experience.
No.
You weren't around when Biden had to drop out of the presidential run because of the plagiarism charges, did you?
Yeah, nope.
No. You weren't around when he was running for president and he had the brain aneurysm.
Yeah, no.
Back in the day.
Mm-mm.
So So, and I guarantee you, because you're about the age, you're about the average age of the person in the White House press corps right now.
That's crazy.
And these people do not have the life experience they need to be able to ask the tough and smart and relevant questions.
Fair enough.
They just don't. And that's why that job is so vitally important. That's why someone who is 18 years old cannot run for the presidency of the United States. The founding fathers knew that.
Yes,
agreed. That's taking nothing away from a young person. You just don't have the life experience necessary.
Not yet.
And here's and this is where we are right now, folks, because not a single person, at least, and again, I haven't read the transcript. So to my knowledge, not a single person called out the president and said, so about those brain aneurysms, that's a legitimate question. And one, by the way, that he brought up. But that's why we need to be asking these questions. And the reason why they're not is because they're ignorant. And it is not a look, ignorance is not a slur. It is just a statement of fact. They don't have the knowledge necessary to ask those kinds of questions. All right. I want to go to the phones here, and then I've got to talk to you about fried chicken, which I had no idea was racist. Who knew? But before we get into that, let's go to North Carolina. Ron, listening to us on the talk station, and wants to weigh in on Kevin McCarthy. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
It's going good. Enjoying your program. Anyway, back when the January 6th committee was set up, Kevin McCarthy did appoint Republicans to the committee, which Nancy Pelosi refused to sit. She sent two tame Republicans there. One of the ones McCarthy had nominated for that committee was Mr. Jordan up there in Ohio, who would have been an ideal person for that committee. So, the fingers doesn't need to be pointed at Republicans. It need to be pointed right square where it belongs, at Nancy Pelosi, for refusing to sit Republican-appointed members on that committee.
No, don't get me wrong. Look, I'm pointing fingers at everybody, but I'm saying that McCarthy could have pushed that issue, and he could have. Well, let me take that back. I would like to think that he could have gotten Cheney and Kinzinger to go along with that plan. But if they had not, then at that point, they could have been exposed early on. And we all know what Liz Cheney is up to. We all know what Kinzinger is up to. We get that. I mean, Kinzinger especially, he's vying for a spot on MSDNC or CNN, the most profane name in news.
Yes, sir. I understand what you're saying now, and I just didn't receive that point, that clarity of the point, but I understand exactly what you're saying, and yeah, that's entirely valid, because I have always thought that on a lot of things, he could have pushed harder than he has in the past.
Yeah, I'm not one of these people that hates McCarthy. I think he's doing an okay job, but we need a fighter like Jim Jordan, a fighter like Mark Meadows. We need somebody of that caliber willing to take on the Democrats and actually lead the House of Representatives. We haven't had anybody like that since going back to Speaker Newt.
Yes, sir, exactly. They need to have a fire in the belly or they won't get as much done as it needs to be done.
That's it. Ron, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Ron on the Talk Station. Love all of our good listeners out there in Morehead City, North Carolina, and parts beyond. Let's go to Arthur in North Carolina, also on the Talk Station. Hey, Arthur, what's up?
Well, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, Arthur.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. I want to know why the Republicans and your media group does not push the narrative of the Capitol police officer murdering an innocent woman, daughter.
Arthur, are you there?
Capitals. Yes, sir.
All right, you broke up there. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I wanted to know why the Republican narrative doesn't push why the Capitol police officer murdered that girl. She didn't have a weapon. Nobody had a weapon. And the only one that got killed was an innocent woman. She was murdered. And we're not holding the Democrats. That's what's wrong with the Republican Party. They don't want to hold anybody responsible for anything.
So
I know we can't do much right now.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let me jump in here. I have a different take on the Ashley Babbitt situation. First of all,
okay.
I don't care about narratives. I just want the facts. I want the truth. I don't care about the Republican narrative. Don't care about the Democrat narrative, Arthur. I just want to know the truth. Now, I want to ask you a question. The law enforcement officer who opened fire, do you think he knew that Ashley Babbitt did not have a gun?
I would tell you that there was no immediate threat to him.
How did he know that? Because from his vantage point, you've got people that are knocking glass panes out of doors. You've got a large crowd gathered at doors that are locked. You have a crowd that is, and then you've got somebody who looks like she's about to climb through that glass, broken glass. Would you, if you're a police officer, you're in the moment, and you're seeing that happen, what do you think's going on?
Well, first of all, they were ushered in through the ushering in.
Well, they weren't ushered in there. I mean, they may have been ushered in at the beginning. Don't get me wrong. Now, again, Arthur, I've been the one conservative out there saying we need to get all of the facts. I think there is blame. People did good things. People did horrible things on that day.
Yes, I do, too.
So the question is, at that snapshot in history, and again, I don't know, what was in the going through the mind of that officer who opened fire, who fired the one shot? And I don't know the answer to that. It needs to be investigated. And clearly it was, and they sealed up the records. We can't see, we don't know anything about that guy. That's a problem in my estimation.
Right. That's exactly what I'm getting at, because if we get it unwrapped, you're going to find out that this police officer, or whatever you want to call him, I call him a murderer, murdered that girl. She was no real threat to him. Yes, she was coming through a window, but she didn't have, her hands didn't have anything in them.
What if Ashley?
And I know it was a big mob there, but there was other officers right there that didn't shoot anybody. Even after he fired the first shot, nobody else fired
the
weapon.
Arthur, what you just said is true. But you know what, Arthur? Somebody could turn that around, and they could say, okay, there's a Korean business owner, and there's a Black Lives Matter mob, and they're ransacking stores. They're trying to get inside his store. They bust a window, and a protester is climbing through, and the Korean store owner opens fire. I mean, there you go.
Well, this is where I differ, because I have a daughter. And if that would have happened to my daughter, I would be up there, up on a flagpole somewhere, making sure that I found out why that guy murdered my daughter, period.
And the family deserves
the
answers.
White, Chinese, I don't care about the Koreans. I don't care about anything. I just want to know about Americans. You want to be American, be American. You want to be a communist, be a communist. But when it comes down to it, if we don't start holding the Democratic Party, which is more like a communist party, liable for the damage that they're doing to this country, we're going to lose it. Simple as that. Once you get too many people in here that are illegal and going around killing officers in Dallas, Texas, and possibly that one last night was an illegal, don't know, but this is what America, the downturn of America, this is what the communists want, that's what China wants, that's what Russia wants. They want to push this narrative on American people to hate each other. And boy, we stuck right up to it, you know?
All right, Arthur, I got to run for a break here, and I hear what you're saying. And look, I just want to see the truth. That's all, the facts, nothing but the facts. Is that too much to ask? Because the facts as we now know them, Ashley Babbitt would still be alive if Pelosi had not told the Capitol Police to stand down, if Pelosi had not told the National Guard to stand down. Ashley Babbitt would be alive. We wouldn't even be talking about January the 6th right now. All right, look, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. ToddStarns.com is our website, and if you have not already done so, I want to encourage you right now to go sign up for our daily newsletter. It comes out every single day, and it is filled with great stories that you will not see in the mainstream media. And again, you can sign up at ToddStarns.com. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Want to talk about this story out of Massachusetts? That's above the Mason-Dixon line, and it involves an all-boys Catholic high school. Zavarian Brothers. I think that's the whatever. It's a Catholic high school. Anyway, the Catholic high school wanted to commemorate Black History Month, so they went to the lunch ladies. And by the way, you know what we need to hear sometime before the end of this program? We need to hear Adam Sandler's Lunch Lady song. That's a great song. Remember that, Grace? That was a great movie.
Wait, what's that from?
The Lunch Lady, Adam Sandler.
Never seen that.
What do they teach you guys?
I've seen other stuff.
What do they teach you at university?
I've seen Waterboy. I've seen Billy
Madison.
Bobby
Boucher.
Yeah. Right. Seen those.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I've seen Happy Gilmore.
So anyway.
That's on the list, I guess.
So Grace, the high school there wanting to celebrate Black History Month. So they went to the cafeteria. And one of the black cafeteria workers said, I would like to prepare for the students my delicious, she's from the South, my delicious fried chicken recipe.
So she suggested this herself.
Yeah, black cafeteria worker. The black lunch lady said, I know, I'll make fried chicken.
Who doesn't love fried chicken? Look,
especially if you're from the South,
yeah,
and you've got a cast iron skillet, you bring an appetite.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to tell you. So anyway, she prepares fried chicken, and the whole point of this was to create a menu that represented Southern black cuisine.
Sure.
So all of us in the South, we eat fried chicken. We eat collard greens. We eat okra, fried
okra.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I was like, wait a minute.
Fry it. You know that boiled okra looks like something like a Star Wars character.
Ew. See,
I
don't like collard greens.
Oh, man, I love collard
it's
greens.
It's a texture.
I love black-eyed peas with a little ham hock in it.
I like black-eyed peas.
So anyway, they served the fried chicken, and the all-male Catholic high school student body became offended.
Of course they did.
And let me say they're mostly white. So they're saying, how dare you? This is stereotypical. This is racist. Fried chicken is racist. So I don't know if the all-male Catholic high school was offended by the breasts or the legs or the thighs of the chicken. I don't know. And I don't care. Because these kids are morons. One and all. So the school, instead of just reading the kids the riot act and getting the nuns in, what they should have done is brought in the nuns with the big long rulers and said, all right, I don't know if they're Irish Catholic or not, but Billy McGillicuddy, stand up here. Do you believe that fried chicken is racist? And they goes, yes, I do. I think it's horribly racist. Put your hand on the side of the and just wrap the knuckles. And that's what they should have done.
Man.
I mean, come on. Are you kidding me?
No, this is so stupid, especially considering she suggested it herself and it was her recipe. Give me a break.
Glad she didn't serve chitlins. Good golly. That probably wouldn't have ended well. Gotta take a break. I'm back at Cotton Eye Joe's in Knoxville. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today on the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Hope you're doing good. You know, Grace, I feel like we should give something out here. So here's what we're going to do. This is going to be a great trivia question. A horrible thing happened on this day 15 years ago. A horrible event. An event that changed the course of this nation happened 15 years ago. Why is Kyle shaking his head?
I'm so confused.
Kyle looks like he's horrified.
My parents got married that day.
Okay, that's not the answer. Oh, my God. Is today their anniversary?
Yes.
Uh-oh, I forgot to send them a card. You know, Kyle, we're family. We're related, Kyle and I are. And I forgot to send my cousin an email. Whoops. I'm in trouble now. But something else happened 15 years ago that was horrible. Thank Kyle. Jeez, Alou. It happened in front of the old Capitol in Springfield, Illinois, 15 years ago today. If you know what that is, we're going to hook you up with a copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And you can give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. All right. Our good friend Steve Dace has a new book out called Do What You Believe, or You Won't Be Free to Believe It Much Longer. Steve is a best-selling author, and you probably see him all the time over at The Blaze TV. We have links to all of Steve's platforms over in our live show blog. Steve, good to have you back with us.
Good to talk to you again, brother. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well and excited to talk about this book because a lot of Christians have been asking these days, what exactly and how exactly do we fight back? How do we engage the culture? And you talk about this in the book.
Well, you know, I wanted to write something, Todd, that kind of updated the Francis Schaeffer classic, The Christian Manifesto, that I think did a lot to sort of guide Christian civic activism in this country in the 80s and well into the 90s. But we're facing a totally more acute threat level now. The stuff that they thought was cataclysmic in the 80s, we look back on now as, you know, we want to fire up those were the days. Okay, we think those were the salad days. And then if you look at how even more apparent it is now, that what we're facing is not political. This is beyond just taking our biblical principles and applying them in a civic arena. That literally the civic arena now is a spiritual battlefield. And you've seen that, for example, with just the zealous level of religious idolatrous devotion to COVID restrictions and masks and jabs and things of that nature that cannot be science, that now suddenly cannot be questioned but must be accepted on a dogmatic level. And so what I wrote here was a book to sort of update our tactics and an acknowledgement of the far more deeper spiritual opposition that is going on. This truly is, we've heard this talking point so many times over the years, brother, but it's really true this time. You're really watching a battle for the soul of a country playing itself out right now.
Steve, I'm curious, and I know you're a person of faith, you're a fellow believer. Do you address in the book what you know, the issues and this fighting that's even within the evangelical community right now? Because you have a lot of folks within our community that are telling Christians to stand down and no longer engage the culture.
One of the things we don't address that specifically, but we do address it as a general observation. I mean, what we've seen the last few years is, and we've seen it on the political right, and then you're seeing it within Christian Orthodox, small o Orthodox circles, is there is a group of people that are legitimately concerned about becoming too partisan, about compromising our witness for politics, about overlooking faults of people when they have the proper letter after their name, while chastising people that commit the same faults with the wrong letter after their name. And I think those are all very legitimate complaints. You know, I have aired a few of those complaints myself over the years. But what we have seen, though, is that the vast majority of those, particularly with high-profile names, Beth Moore, David French, Tim Keller, these are really covers for moving us to the left, meaning that it's not that there's what we call sometimes in the business world a false objection. Meaning that someone puts something up as a reason for why they don't want to buy a product, but that's not really the reason, all right? And that's what many of these things are. They are false objections. It's more about, we now want to promote drag queen story time hour. We now want to remove biblical gender roles, that we want to actually move the church to the left. And so, you know, we're going to do this in a more subtle way than, you know, what was done by people like Tony Campolo and others in previous years, where they just flat out said, hey, we need to become more Marxist, or Ron Sider, those sorts of people. They're going to do this more with more subtlety. They've established some, you know, theologically conservative credentials and large audiences as a result of that. And now that we've kind of drawn you in, now suddenly the wolf takes off the grandma mask and just shows Little Red Riding Hood her fangs. And that's what you're describing. That's what's going on right now.
The name of the book, Do What You Believe, written by Steve Dace from Blaze TV. And again, links to all of his platforms and where you can buy the book on our live show blog. Steve, when you look at the culture, I get this question a lot, and I'd like for you to answer it. Is this country salvageable? Are we going to be able to save this country from the socialist?
We may not. And, you know, I don't know if it's true. There's a bit of an urban legend that, you know, Ruth Graham, before she passed away, said to Billy, you know, if God doesn't judge America for what's going on here, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. She didn't die 10 minutes ago. That was several years ago. We haven't moved any closer to the plumb line since those days, obviously. Right now, we live in an era we don't know what a gender is, what a person is, what a border is, what a crime is, what a doctor is, what a hospital is, what a medicine is, what a vaccine is. We don't know what anything is. Literally, we don't know what anything is. So if indeed this is, you're watching the death throes of yet another empire, you're watching history play itself out, nobody within the sound of my voice, Todd, can say that if this is divine judgment, it's not deserved. No one can say that God has been harsh or impertinent in making such a calculation. But what our job is here is to be faithful and not create self-fulfilling prophecies, not become 21st century Millerites where we go out into the plains and sell all our goods, convinced that we properly deduced our eschatological calculations and Jesus is coming back now. So then we find out that we were wrong and now we're just out of all of our stuff. We still have a responsibility to finish our race, all right? And that's our job here, is to finish our race. We are fighting for the soul of this country, not out of some form of just jingoistic fervor. You know, the American flag doesn't, you know, make the hair on the back of our neck stand up when it's properly displayed because of America, love it or leave it. Because frankly, as Chesterton once said, this is the only country ever founded on a creed. And a lot, and almost all of that creed comes from our worldview. That's why. And so it's not about flags or monuments as much as it's about the values that those things were symbolized and that they're a testament to. That's what we're fighting for here. And so to just simply say, hey, this is not our fight, let it go, and we've got other things to worry about. In front of a watching world, they do view this as a Christian nation, whether it is or not, whether it ever truly ever was, or maybe was inspired by Christianity, or has, you know, a lot of the people that have said for 50 years they're Christians weren't really. The watching world views this as a Christian nation. For us to just allow it to plunge into the abyss because of our complacency stains our witness to that watching world. And so, to me, I think we're just faithful to the end. And if it is God's judgment, if we're living in a Romans one time, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well said. It is a terrific book and one that you need in your library, ladies and gentlemen. Do What You Believe or you won't be free to believe it much longer. Steve, who comes up with the titles? Is that you? Do you do that?
I do. Yeah, for most of them. For this one, I did come up with the title and subtitle. Yeah.
You see, I do too. Sometimes that's a good thing. It's a bad thing. My first book, they popped my hood and found gravy on the dipstick. And at that point, maybe the publisher said, you know, maybe we ought to kind of, you know, we appreciate the effort. So I need to come up with great. I need to let you come up with the title for my next book is what I need to do. Well, that's fantastic. Are you doing well, Steve? I mean, you're all over the place on the Blaze.
We are doing well. I kind of smelled the rat from the first few minutes of what I call COVID stand in March of 2020, just studying the Imperial College model. And I did modeling, data modeling for campaigns, including the Cruz presidential campaign. So I kind of can spot BS when it comes to data when I see it. And I could see right away that one was full of cow chips, and started asking a lot of questions of people about the decisions we were making nationally and was not getting good answers. And, so we were kind of on our show on the vanguard of pushing back on this. And sadly, I wish we would have been wrong. Our show has grown a lot because of it, Todd, but I would have preferred much better circumstances for your show to grow other than to be right about maybe the worst scam in the history of Western civilization. But here we are.
Steve, we're going to leave it there. Congratulations again on the great book, and we just hope your platform grows and grows and grows, and we'll get you back on very soon.
You got it, man, and congrats to you as well. Good to talk to you again, brother. Take care. All right, God bless.
All right, Steve Dace, everybody, from Blaze TV, and again, we've got a link to the book there. Do What You Believe, or You Won't Be Free to Believe It Much Longer, and it is a great book by Post Hill Press. All right, we had a trivia question. We said something horrible, something traumatic. It was a day that will live in infamy, happened on this day. And Kyle said, that was happened to be the day that his parents got married. No, that is not it. But 15 years ago today, something happened in Springfield, Illinois, in front of the old Capitol building. Let's go to Terry, Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC is the great radio affiliate there. Terry, how are you today?
I'm doing fine today. Can you hear me?
Good. You're coming in loud and clear. All right, Terry, what happened 15 years ago today?
Well, I kind of calculated it in my head. 15 years ago would have been 2007. It was the year before that 2008 presidential election.
Yes.
That was the day that Barack Hussein Obama announced that he was going to run for president.
Terry, you're spot on the money, and I would say congratulations, but it was a horrible moment for the country. But yes, sir,
I guarantee you,
you are correct. And Terry, we're gonna put you on hold, and Grace is gonna get your info, and we're gonna send you a little prize, signed copy of the Daily Biscuit book. I like that book, Terry. Yeah, 15 years ago today. You know, I got assigned that presidential campaign, and I was assigned to Obama, so I had to travel all over America with that guy, and even went to Hawaii with him. And one of these, you know what? I'm saving some of those stories for the memoir, which will probably be two books from now. I've got another book coming out later this year, but maybe I'll tell some of those crazy stories about what happened out on the campaign. All right, look, we've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to tell you real quick about a great new sponsor of this program, and I am proud to be a part of AMAC. Over 2 million active AMAC members nationwide. If you are 50 years of age or older, you are eligible to join America's largest organization for conservative seniors. And they are fighting for us in Washington, D.C. They were a big part of the Stopping Build Back Better scheme. Also, they were very influential in saving the filibuster, and that's why you need to sign up and join the AMAC membership roster. Look, not only are they doing some very important work for conservatives in Washington, they're also giving us some great discounts. You're going to get discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, along with some other really great membership benefits by signing up for AMAC. All you need to do is go to amac.us/starns right now. That's amac.us/starns. And check them out. See all the great benefits and discounts you're going to get. That's amac.us/starns.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Grace, we've got to talk about this NPR story. This is crazy. So NPR, that's National Public Welfare Radio. They're on food stamps over there. And National Public Welfare Radio. Can I just stop here and say this about NPR? So I am a radio station owner, all right? And we are a for-profit company. We have to go out there. We don't get any tax money. You know, we're not getting tax dollars. My tax money, though, the money that I earn owning this radio station goes to pay for NPR, which is in competition with my company.
That makes no sense.
Does that make any sense at all?
None.
It would be like the government launching a hamburger chain to go up against, you know, McDonald's.
Yeah,
I mean, that makes no sense.
Dumb.
By the way, have you tried the McDonald's hacks? Have you heard about this?
No.
Where you can go and you can get like a Filet-O-Fish sandwich. Yeah. I love those, by the way. I'm a big Filet-O-Fish fan. But you could get like a Filet-O-Fish with a chicken, with like chicken tenders on it or something. It's like you can mix and match now.
I did not know that.
Or you get like a Big Mac and then you can put a slab of fish in it, which is kind of nasty. But
that sounds disgusting.
It's kind of like surf and turf.
I think I'm good.
All right. Anyway, NPR has done a big story. They're very upset now about the emojis.
Oh, yeah. This is an ongoing controversy, I feel like.
They
update them every once in a while,
yes.
You know.
So the article is headlined, "Which Skin Color Emoji Should You Use?" And they're saying, I guess they're taking white people to task because I guess white people are using a yellow-handed thumbs-up emoji. Oh, I do that all the time.
Uh-oh.
But apparently that shows ignorance of white privilege. What does that mean? It's like an Asian finger? Is that it's yellow. So is that the reason why?
I don't know. It's emojis. That's what I don't understand.
Alejandro Marquez Hans. Okay, is that like Mexican Netherlands or something? What a name. And Asma Khalid. Sorry. Asma.
Oh, my.
A little out of breath. So Asma and Alejandro and Patrick, good Lord, they should have edited that guy's last name. It's like 30 letters. They're all very upset at you white people for using emojis. And they're saying some white people may choose the yellow thumbs up emoji because it feels natural. But some academics argue that opting out of tan thumbs up emojis signals a lack of awareness about white privilege, associating whiteness with being raceless.
Okay, maybe I just need to go back to using like the semicolon and the parentheses and just leave it at that for like winky faces and stuff. So then I don't even have to use the emojis. Just avoid it in general.
Can we just go back to the good old days when you didn't have to worry about emojis?
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
just make your own.
Just, if you want a thumbs up, just give them a thumbs up. But don't do the A-OK. I guess that's against the law now or something.
Oh, it is.
Hey, we got to go. I'm not sure what emoji to use, but have a lovely day, America. We'll be back tomorrow.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.